Good morning. Wonderful time for us to gather together as the church for this time of worship. I want us to remember Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And we have gathered today in faith to worship our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let's continue that time of worship with a moment of prayer right now. God, we come before you this morning, acknowledging that it is you that has called us together. We are thankful for that, Lord. We are thankful for the time that you have brought us together to worship you. Lord, that time rejuvenates us. It keeps us focused. It convicts us. And it shows us how together, as the body of Christ, we are called to live. God, guide us now through the songs that we will sing to you, through the word you will bring to us. Focus our attention on your presence. Pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Let us all stand and sing hymn number 575, I Will Sing of My Redeemer.
Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your house today to hear your word, and we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us this past week. And Father, I want to thank you for the ones I know you're going to give us next week. Father, I ask that you might bless these tithes and these offerings to further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Notice that we have many of our children and youth, parents and leaders coming down with shoe boxes. You'll see the Operation Christmas Child shoe boxes being stacked before you here. What a wonderful blessing it is to see the church come together in such a phenomenal way with this ministry. I think we even have four, if I counted correctly, wagons that you're seeing pulled at the end there that are bringing up the rear that are full of shoe boxes. In just a moment, we're going to make room. I know there's a lot going on here. We wanted to show you just how many shoe boxes were filled through the church this year. Record number at that. So as you see them come forward, you also want to see the visual of the wagons come forward. Let's have two wagons come this way as you can make your way through, and we'll have two wagons go this way because after the conclusion of this part of our service, the wagons will make their way to the atrium to give us a little room up front here. But we did want to have you all see just how many boxes there were. We're using our children's sermon time to bring all the children before you with all the work they've been a part of, like I've already mentioned. And you'll see the wagons making their way this way as well. Wonderful. You can see how many people have been involved in this ministry, and that's not including you all. Everybody who has donated anything or packed a box or given a rubber band, any way you've contributed to this ministry, a big thank you. It is wonderful to see the church come together for this ministry and to hear a little bit more about the ministry. I've misplaced Ronnie. There you are. I know he'll have a little maze to follow to make his way up here, but when you can, if you want to come up here, he's going to share a little bit more about the Operation Christmas Child ministry. Give us some details and talk a little bit further before we have a prayer over the ministry involvement. Ronnie?
Morning, church. Again, like Matt said, it's great to see the number of boxes that are up in front of the church this morning. I want to talk to you briefly about what is Operation Christmas Child. And I know a lot of you are familiar with Operation Christmas Child. It's a ministry that shares the love of Christ by giving Christmas gifts to children around the world, to those who have nothing. We may consider these small gifts, but they mean so much to the children that receive the boxes. The purpose is to have the children feel loved and learn that they are loved by God. And we know that in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, the Bible speaks of love, hope, and faith, and the greater of the three is love. So it's more than just small toys and things and coloring books. It's a chance for them to learn about God and to feel loved. It's an ongoing ministry throughout the church. Betty Lou and Laura May strengthened this ministry a couple years ago by having collections for boxes throughout the year. The church responded well and has provided the ministry and is leading into the Christmas time. God provided additional leaders this past year, a calling on Ms. Karen Gaines and Haley Page, my wife. Felt led to take a prominent leadership role within the ministry. This led to the ministry expanding this year, not in just a number of boxes. There's a last count of 162 is the last count. That number is growing a little bit. But the wonderful involvement of the church, everyone coming together. It's a wonderful intergenerational ministry from the young to the old, involved. Collecting items, going to learn more about the ministry, the packing parties that we've had, and also the collection center for this area is in Jonesboro, and on November the 23rd at 6:30, we'll take all the boxes to the collection point. So God provided, another bulletin point is God provided willing hearts and minds. It was exciting to see how the church gets in and understands how something we deem simple can have a huge impact. Discipleship as a church and the impact of ministry the Lord has involved us in, helping the children around the world. So what now? What do we do when we have over 163 boxes? Pray. Spend time praying for the children that receive these boxes and for the children that don't receive these boxes. Pray God will show us how to continue this ministry throughout this church, throughout the upcoming year. Thank you.
Amen. It is great to hear how the ministry has continued to blossom through such wonderful leaders that you see here standing before you, and that's including the children as well. At this time, I want to make sure the children and youth know you can go back to your appropriate areas for our continued time of worship once we have a prayer here. But for now, let's close this moment of our worship with a prayer. God, how amazing it is to hear how you have brought so many people together, young and old alike, Lord, coming together for one purpose, to share your love. Lord, we've heard that it may seem simple to us, collecting toys or a coloring book, but we know it's much more profound because of the purpose behind it, to share your love, Lord. So we do pray for those that will receive these boxes. We pray that they receive it and understand that it is out of your love, that they will learn about your love, Lord, that they will learn about our Savior, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and how they need Him to also be their Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you so much for the leaders here that you have before us, the children, the youth, the adults, the parents, everybody involved throughout the church, bringing this time together, focused on how to serve others throughout the world. God, guide our time before us. When we see the boxes depart from the worship center here, Lord, may we not forget that we need to continue to pray for the impact they will have on those who receive them and the impact through the year on how we can continue to come together until next year. And Lord, we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All right, y'all can go back to your seats.
What a beautiful, tangible outpouring of your love for God and for the children of the world. Let's turn to hymn number 581. We have heard the joyful sound. Let's stand as we sing, please.
We have heard the joyful sound. may be seated, and let me invite you to turn in your bulletin to our prayer concerns. And I've got a couple of names that I'd like to remind us of. You see my daughter, Rebecca. She is hopefully going to be discharged from UNC Hospital in just tomorrow or the next day, but we covet your prayers for her. And I have just heard, literally coming into the worship center, that Anthony Harrington also is at UNC in the hospital. We think he is coming home today. So let me ask that you add Anthony's name to that prayer list. What a tremendous effort we've made today with these shoeboxes. Such little simple things God can use in a mighty way. And I just wonder how we might be a shoebox kind of minister in Deep River this year. How we might take simple little things and use them for the kingdom of God. I believe that God has blessed this church for 110 years. That we might be a blessing in the midst of the people of Deep River. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we are grateful for 162 boxes and maybe some more between now and the delivery time. And how they'll go throughout the land and they shall impact the lives of children and families to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Lord, I'm reminded you called us to go to the uttermost parts of the earth and carry the good news. So as we have already prayed, we pray again that you might use these boxes as instruments of your grace and of your mercy, that you might indeed touch lives through those that will be handing those boxes out, and there'll be conversations about salvation. And Lord, we pray that there might be conversations in Deep River at Winkmark and down at the trash dump and down at the fire hall and down at Jordan Mini Dam and in the community when we gather to play ball or to play volleyball or to do whatever we might do in the midst of this community at our school. We might be having those conversations, God. We might be pulled together. Lord, I think how a football game this past Friday night just filled up a stadium. People are interested in what they're interested in. Help us, oh God, to make sure we're interested in you and we're sharing your goodness and your love in every way you'll give us opportunity. And Lord, on our prayer list, there are folks we pray for. We've been lifting them up all week. Some we mentioned Sunday after Sunday. Some that just shown up on this list. But Lord, they're all on your list and they're all important to you. So would you now bless them as you know they have need. God, would you continue to lead us now as we worship you in spirit and truth. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us as our choir sings, and then as Matt brings the word, that you might use it in a powerful way to impact our life, our decisions, our choices, that we might leave the worship center filled with your mercy and your grace and your spirit, that it might overflow onto others who'll be in our path this week. We ask this believing. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's continue our worship with a moment of prayer. God, I feel led to come before you at this time as the church is worshiping you. In the very act of worship, Lord, we are awestruck by your presence when we sing praises to your name. Lifted up, hearing how heaven must be rejoicing when we are singing as the angels sing, glorifying your name. And God, now you have a word that is brought to us through your word, and we are praying for clarity. Praying for your mission to be seen through us today and this week. Lord, teach us. Lord, mold us. Amen. We hear as Christians how God places a specific call on each of our lives once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God calls children and youth to be an example to their friends and family about what it means to live with the priorities of Christ. God calls young men and women to make decisions as to how to spend their time after high school, what college to attend, or what job to begin. God calls us to make decisions on who to marry or if we should be married. God calls families to focus on how to give him all the glory through their family schedules. God calls men and women to focus on him about what it means to retire and how to have God use that new stage in life. God calls us in big ways throughout life. God also calls us each and every day. God speaks to us, you might say. When have you heard God speak to you? What was that like? Think of a time you've heard God speak to you. We acknowledge that the Lord leads us and guides us through prayer. We understand we should be listening to how God guides us through the Holy Spirit in our prayer life. So my questions to get us going in the direction I believe the Lord is leading this morning, they're simple. Do we listen when God speaks? How do we respond when he speaks? And then how do we deal with the consequences of either obedience or disobedience? Questions are simple. Hear them again. God speaks. How do we respond? And then how do we deal with the consequences of either obedience or disobedience? This morning we're going to discuss Jonah as we continue our series on life-changing encounters. It's been a powerful series, and we have met many people who have encountered life-changing events. The story of Jonah is one we are certainly familiar with. A lot of times the attention is toward the great fish, but not this morning. This morning, I want us to focus on God's initial encounter with Jonah and Jonah's initial response to God's encounter. Because I believe there is much to be derived from this story as to how we are to listen to God and respond to God. So turn with me to Jonah, the first chapter. It's a small book. I'll give you time to find it. Turn to Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to ask if you're able to stand with me as we read verses 1 through 7. Jonah 1:1-7. While you're listening to the scripture this morning, pay special attention to how Jonah responds to the Lord's command. In the first chapter of Jonah, the first 7 verses. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners, the sailors, were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will get, will give a thought to us, and we will not perish. And they said to one another, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Pray with me again. Lord, in this encounter with Jonah, may we understand how you are speaking to us now. In your son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Jonah begins with an immediate command from the Lord to Jonah. The command is quite clear, and the response is quite clear as well. When I start reading this passage, I really want there to be a bit of confusion about what the Lord is saying here. I wish God had said something that was a little unclear. Maybe it would help me deal with the fact that Jonah disobeys so quickly. Unfortunately, or fortunately, there is no confusion. God's command was very clear. The Lord had told him plainly, go to Nineveh. The same cannot be said with how we communicate with one another, though, from time to time. Much of the time when we talk, we use analogies or we interpret things very differently from one another. This is especially true with men and women. The jokes about men and women and husband and wives are too numerous to count on how we communicate with one another. There's plenty of things that can be said about that. As a man, I know sometimes when we speak, men in general, we can be misinterpreted. I understand that. There are some ways we can be helped with that, though. This morning, I found a list of a few instances of when a man might say something, what might be meant. I hope you'll enjoy these, as I did. When a man says, it takes too long, or it would take too long to explain, he might mean, I have no idea how it works. When a husband says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard, husband might mean, I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner. When a man says it's a guy thing, he's saying there's no rational thought pattern that's going to lead you to a logical conclusion of what I'm saying and how it makes sense. When a man says, oh, don't worry, it's just a little cut, it's no big deal, it probably means he's almost severed a limb and he needs immediate attention, please come help. When a man says, I can't find it, he might mean it did not fall out into my outstretched hand, please help. When a man says, you look terrific, he might mean, please don't try on another outfit, I'm starving and I'm ready to go eat. When a man says, that's not what I meant, he means if something can be interpreted two ways, one of which makes you sad or angry, I definitely meant the other one. And when a man says, I heard you, he might mean at times, I don't have the foggiest clue what you're talking about, but I'm hoping desperately I can fake it. Misinterpretations at times, right? But Jonah heard the Lord clearly. It was very clear what was said. The Lord's communication was abundantly evident. There's no way to misinterpret what was being said. The Lord told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Now, what Jonah is to do there is unclear, but that doesn't really matter. We know that Jonah received a word from the Lord to simply go. But how does Jonah respond? There's no dialogue, there's no reason given. Jonah just gets up and runs the other way. I picture a time of a child being told what to do and taking off running the other direction. I remember a week ago playing with Lillian in the floor with her blocks that she loves to play with. And whether I deem it's necessary to finish playing with the blocks or she does, we always clean up the blocks and put them back where they came from. Well, not this time. She thought that when we finished playing blocks and I told her to put the blocks back, we even have a little song that goes with it, but I'll spare you, that she would just take off and run in the other direction. So as soon as I say put the blocks back, she ran as hard as she could to the kitchen. I just had to laugh. What are you trying to do? You really think that distancing yourself between you and the responsibility I just gave you is going to help you avoid that responsibility? I mean, it's ridiculous to think about, right? At home or at church or at work, if we thought we could just put literal distance between ourselves and a work chore or a home responsibility that we wouldn't have to do it, that would seem silly to us. That's exactly what Jonah did. Jonah just ran the other direction. Now, resistance to God's commands is nothing new. In the Old Testament, there are numerous accounts of when people resisted God's direct commands. We come up with plenty of excuses as to why they shouldn't or weren't qualified to do what God had told them to do. But Jonah, you went a step further. He just flat out disobeyed from the get-go and just ran the other direction. I mean, I get that Jonah may have been scared. He may have been unsure of what was going to be required of him. But this interaction between the Lord and Jonah tells us that sometimes the Lord simply speaks and we are to simply obey. Sometimes God simply speaks and we are to simply obey. I've thought many times where I've heard the Lord speak to me and gives me the first step. And I want to know steps 2, 3, 4, and 5. It's in our nature, right? We're planners. We want to understand. But sometimes God gives us step 1 only. I want to know step 2. I want to know step 3. How is step 4 going to work out? Help me out. And God is waiting and has told me, do step 1. God simply speaks at times. And we're simply to listen and obey. How many times does God speak to us, convict us, and tell us to be ready to talk to somebody about His life-saving love? And we say, well, God, what will I say? How many times does God tell us to go somewhere, like worshiping together as part of His church? And we say, well, God, I got this really important game I got to go to. How many times does God tell us in worship together to listen to Him throughout the week and obey His commands? And we walk out that door and we start thinking about lunch, our to-do list, our job, our family, and we forget that special time we had together listening to the Lord as His church. After Jonah's flight from God's direct command, we see the Lord engage Jonah in an indirect way. And for me, it's insight into how our disobedience works, I believe. Jonah disobeyed God, and now he has allowed his sin to, choppy the waters in between him and the direct communication he once had. He heard him speak directly, and now it's going to have to come in an indirect way. The storm around him is getting his attention, to say the least. We'll get to that in a second. I think this is symbolic of how our disobedience works to the Lord's commands. Sometimes we literally put distance between our understanding of how the Holy Spirit is supposed to speak to us and our ability to listen to the Holy Spirit. When Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord and he boarded a ship and he headed to Tarshish, I can't ever say that right, Tarshish, he placed the lives of all those in danger, or all those on board, in danger. Now think about this. Jonah is on board a ship, and the other sailors were on board the ship minding their own business, probably doing what they thought was best to do. And Jonah comes on this ship, and he's running from the Lord, and now all of their lives are in danger. And I have to ask, how many times does our disobedience place those around us in trouble? When we disobey God's call on our life, we negatively affect those around us. We cannot hear that enough or understand that too much. When we disobey God, it negatively affects everyone else we're associated with. I've heard it said this way, that to flee the divine presence of God is not to escape God, but to reject the divine call. To flee the divine presence of God is not to escape God, but to reject His call. The sailors, they cried out. They wanted to know a reason why their lives were all of a sudden in danger. How horrible is it to think that our disobedience could result in costing the eternal lives of others? Jonah is on board a ship. He's trying to flee from the presence of God and His command, and he's asleep. He has accepted his disobedience to the point where he's probably okay to die. He has to know the ship is in trouble, and he's just asleep. I think his disobedience has clouded his judgment, to say the least. Have you ever been so entangled in disobeying God and His call on your life that you forget how He speaks to you? Have you ever been wrapped up in so disillusioned from disobedience you justify your will over God's commands? At this point in the story, we see God stirring a violent storm toward Jonah and the people on the boat. We see God and Jonah in a power struggle. God is showing Jonah, do you really think you're in charge? It's as if God is asking Jonah, do you really want to use your free will to subvert my will? How foolish for Jonah to think that his disobedience would not lead to disastrous consequences. So I have to ask, what are the consequences of your sins, of my sins? We can surely remember times we disobeyed the Lord and dealt with negative consequences from disobedience. What brought you back to the Lord? What brought you back to listening to His commands and obeying them? Hopefully, we have not strayed so far from the Lord's will that we're callous to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. When we disobey God's will, we cause God's kingdom's will to be compromised. When we think our way is better than God's way, we are sinning, and the consequences are life-altering. I think we would all agree with the statement that sin alters our life, and I would say disastrously. Consequences run the gamut. We miss opportunities to obey Jesus' commands to serve those in need, to tell people about His life-saving love, to encourage other believers in their young faith. We have even more direct consequences. Maybe our family will go in a different direction than God originally intended. Maybe instead our children will not hear the stories of Jesus and learn that those are stories to shape their life and their actions, not just stories to gain head knowledge. Consequences of sinful disobedience may have us believe that we're in charge. We can meet again and again and discuss things, and we can rationalize in our head, and we can just avoid the simple fact of just obeying and doing what God says. Sometimes we just overcomplicate things. I know I have before. What if Jonah just obeyed? It would have been a lot shorter book, right? It's pretty short to begin with. We could have got on with the fact that he obeyed, and now we can see how the Lord is supposed to work with Nineveh. What's going on? We get that later in the book, but it would have taken a totally different turn from the beginning. I think about Jonah listening to God's commands and directly disobeying, facing negative consequences. And all that time, I have to wonder, at what point did he realize, maybe I should listen to God? Maybe I should. How many things am I going to encounter that are going to maybe cost the lives of others or my own life? And maybe God had it right. Just listen and obey to step one. Life is too short to say no to God's will. I believe that wholeheartedly. Maybe God is calling you this morning to stop running, whatever that means metaphorically, and simply listen. Maybe God has reaffirmed your convictions of how you are listening and being faithful daily and hearing His voice and obeying. God calls us. We have to make sure to slow down, stop talking, and listen. That's what I talk to the youth an awful lot about when we discuss prayer. A lot of times, many of us hear prayer and we understand we are supposed to do the talking. We need a list before us. In fact, Jesus does give us the outline of how to pray, and we present God our list, and we pray to Him, and we're done. Our prayers are over. But we need to listen. What's the old adage we tell children? We have two ears, one mouth. Makes sense, right? When God speaks, we're called to listen, and that takes time, and you have to listen slowly. Writer Charles Swindoll once found himself with too many commitments in too few days. He got nervous and he got tense about it. He said he was snapping at his wife and his children, choking down his food at mealtimes, and feeling irritated at life's interruptions throughout the day, he recalled in his book, Stress Fractures. Before long, things around the home started to reflect the pattern of his hurry-up lifestyle. He said it became unbearable. Then he says this, I distinctly remember after supper one evening the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. She began hurriedly. Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast. Suddenly realizing her frustration, he answered, Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly. He said he'll never forget her response. She said, Then listen slowly. Listen slowly. I wonder how many times God has told me, Matt, listen slowly. Just be quiet and listen and do it. I wonder how many times He's told us as a church, listen, just do it. Because God calls us each and every day. We heard about the profound moments in life that God calls us, the big markers in life He certainly calls us. We can hear those, we bathe those in prayer. But God speaks to us each and every day. Each and every day. Are we listening to God's voice this morning? God is speaking and we're called to listen because we will deal with the consequences either way, of either obedience or disobedience. My prayer this morning is simple. I want us to continue our obedient lifestyle as individual Christians and as the church gathered together to listen to God this week when we walk out the doors and pray to Him each day, Monday through Saturday, until we meet again next week. Lord, show me how to obey this week. Show me how to listen this week. Show me how to marvel in the wonderful consequences of listening and obeying and see You continue to reveal Your will to me. I hope and pray we embrace an obedient lifestyle this week. I hope we embrace the way Jesus wants to continue to mold and make us who we're called to be. I pray that we continue to look for opportunities to share the good love of Jesus Christ with other people. When we listen and we obey, those opportunities abound. They're there. I pray we find them. And I pray that we continue to listen to the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Pray with me. God, we have come before You this morning and we have heard Your word speak to us powerfully. And the way Jonah showed us there are consequences in not listening to You, Lord, we understand through Your Son, Jesus Christ, the wonderful consequences of listening to You. God, prepare our hearts and our minds as we have sung songs of praise and worship to You. May we remember that this week. Don't let us forget those powerful moments gathered together as the church to worship You. As individual Christians come together to listen to Your Spirit guide us and convict us. May we hear You clearly and not be distracted by the outside voices and outside responsibilities around us. God, focus our attention on You. Remind us of the story of Jonah and how it is best to listen and obey and follow step one. Show us that now as we leave this place still gathered as Your church. Lord, we love You and praise Your name. Amen. During this time, Jimmy will come forward and we'll ask everyone to turn to page number 576 for our hymn of decision and reflection. Gary will be standing right here with love for somebody to come down and share with how the Lord is leading in your life. Maybe it's time to share how the Lord has been convicting your life to the point it's time to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Wonderful time to share that now. Stand with me as Jimmy comes forward, and let's conclude this worship service together.
Indeed, it has been a good day to be in the house of the Lord. And the Lord has spoken clearly. The choir singing reminding us of His vision when we see Him. And to God using Matt to ask us a question. A time of reflection. A time of decision. And God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. God said to Jonah, repeat after me this short phrase, would you? And God said to me.
God said to me.
Let's try it again. Now you know what's coming. And God said to me.
And God said to me.
What? What did God say? What did God say when the children brought these opportunities to carry the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth? What did God say to you? What did God say to you right now? Moms and dads, about your children, what did God say to you? Families, what did God say to us? Members of this community, what did God say to us? Take a first step. And Matt brought us through the Holy Spirit to a time of decision, because we're going to do one or two things. We're going to go where God said go. Or we're going to get on a boat to Joppa. And that boat may be to Sanford, or it may be to a leisure activity, or it may be to something we'd rather do. But I pray, I just pray, as God spoke to me through that message, that I'd say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to go. Oh, what a difference it'd make in your family. What a difference it'd make in my family. What a difference it'd make in our church. What a difference it'd make in this community. Wow. A church that says, God said to me, and I said yes. Powerful thought. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, choir. Thank you all who helped in packing these shoe boxes. One announcement, there are many in the bulletin, but we do want to remind committees that policies. If you haven't gotten together and reviewed those and given any changes, and I think... I don't see Donnie right now, but I think Gail would say, Gail's not feeling well today, Gail Hickman. But if you just let her know, we've looked at our policy, and it's good. She'd know, and she'll check you off her list. But she's trying to make sure we keep the policies updated, and we need to hear from the committees. If you've had a chance to do that, if not, please do that soon so we can get that work complete. I said as I began, I'll say as I end, it is good to be in the house of God. It is good to worship Him with wagons full of shoeboxes, with songs, with prayers, with us gathered together as His people to hear what God says. And thank you, Lord, for speaking clearly to us today. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence. We might be His people. His God called people. Oh, Lord, thank you for a word today. Some places it ouched. Thank you for that. Some places it challenged. Give us strength to reach the challenge. Some places it reminded us of how good you are to us and how much we love you. And that's when we worship. And now as we leave, Lord, go with us that we might carry you throughout this week. Till we gather again to praise your holy name and lay on your altar our willingness to go where you told us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.